In this dream he's seen seven fat flesh kine come up out of the river, and they fed in the meadow. And then he's seen seven lean flesh kine come up out of the river, and they also went into the meadow and stood by these fat flesh kine, and they consumed these seven fat flesh kine, and they looked not any bit better than after when they had eaten them. And then he fell asleep again, and he dreamed another dream, and he seen a corn stalk with seven rank good ears upon it, and then he seen seven thin ears blasted with the east wind come up on this stalk, and they consumed the seven good rank ears. And then he awoke. He was very troubled concerning this dream. Now this dream carried its own weight and significance with it. The foolish dreams that you and I have, they aren't even worth remembering or even talking about. But these dreams, they were dreams that God had brought home to Pharaoh, and he could not get rid of them. He was very troubled about them. And now he sent for all the magicians and all the wise men in his realm to interpret these dreams. And none of these wise men could interpret the dreams that Pharaoh had. It was beyond all their skill and all the art that these magicians used to give an interpretation to the dreams. We find Joseph in prison. He had thought that he would have been brought out when he spake to the butler concerning his dream, but he had to remain in prison 2 years. And now the time came that Joseph was going to be brought out of prison. How wonderful is God, my hearers. There may be some amongst my hearers that are saying inwardly, Joseph, he was only in prison 2 years and he's going to be brought out. I've been in prison maybe 10, 12, 14, 16, maybe 20 years, and I'm still not brought out. I'm still in prison, still in bondage, wondering whether I ever will be brought out of this state and condition that I am in. You know, the psalmist says, he waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto him, and he heard his cry. And he brought him up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set his feet upon a rock, and he put a new song into his mouth, praise unto the glory of God. It may be so that you may have to wait a number of years yet before you are brought out of prison. But wouldn't that be a glorious experience if you could say with the psalmist, I waited for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And oh, he set my feet upon a rock, and he put a new song into my heart. Isn't that worth waiting for? If you have to wait to the day you die, and God gives you that, you didn't wait in vain. Joseph was waiting in prison to be liberated. And now circumstances arose unknown to him, what was taking place in the palace of the king. And there, behold, this butler came forward, and he says unto the king, I remember this day my faults. And we were in prison. The king had put us in prison, the butler and the baker. And while we were in prison, we also had a dream. And there was a servant unto the God of Hebrew, and he interpreted our dreams. And when he interpreted them, it came out just the way he had spoken. The baker was hanged, and I was restored to my butlership. Some think that when he said, I this day remember my faults, that he remembered what he had done against the king and why he had been put into prison. But I think he remembered that he had forgot to do what Joseph had asked him to do. If he had done what Joseph had asked him to do, had used his interest by the king, things would have been entirely different. Probably Joseph would have been released and he would have went back home to his father. But it wasn't time for Joseph to be released. He had to wait God's time. He had to wait for the word that we read in Psalm 105. That word proved him, and then he was brought out. God will deliver his children out of trouble and out of prison if they are in that, in his own time and in his own way, and contrary to all their expectations and their prayers. Joseph, he was immediately summoned for by the king. And the king called to bring him out, and he had to come out hastily. He took his clothes off and put other clothes on, and he shaved himself. They didn't even want to give him time to do that. It was so urgent on the king's part. And then he was brought into the king. Oh, what a surprise that must have been to Joseph, don't you think so? Immediately he was brought out of prison. And immediately brought before the king. You see something in it, soul? Oh, it may be unexpectedly, surprisingly, that God may deliver your soul and bring you out of prison. And just like Joseph, he was brought in before the king, so you will be brought probably into the palace of the king in glory above, where you never will go out anymore. Oh, what a blessed expectation God's people have. And there is a day coming when they will be liberated from a body of sin, from all unbelief, from all Satan's temptations, and from all things that trouble them here below, and they will be given to enter into the glorious abode in heaven above, to be in the presence of the king and never no more to go out. Have you any such expectation, my hearers? Is it ever alive in your heart? Have you any hope that someday you will be there? Oh, I wish every one of those that are listening to me had such a hope and expectation. That Joseph was brought into the king, and immediately the king began to speak to him, and he said, I have heard that you understand dreams and are able to interpret them. Joseph says, it is not in me. But God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. All my hearers, how this man Joseph gave this king to look away from the instrument that was before him. And how he upset also of the foolish idea of having the magicians and the wise men come in to give an interpretation to the king. He directed the king unto the God of heaven and earth, with whom all interpretations are very plain and very clear. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Don't you think that Joseph was looking up unto this great interpreter, that he would give him the interpretation of the dreams that Pharaoh had? In his saying, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace, we may see already that he had faith to believe that God surely would answer him. He was crying inwardly that the Lord would lead him into the meaning of the dreams that Pharaoh was going to repeat unto him. And Pharaoh, he begins to tell his dreams unto Joseph. He tells them about seeing these seven fat kine come up out of the river and seven lean kine following them, and how that also these seven lean kine ate the fat kine. Of these animals, my hearers, in the land of Egypt, they had a type of the buffalo that we have in this country. They had the only type of animal that is used for agricultural purposes in the land of Egypt. And where he seen them coming up out of the river, you all know that the River Nile runs through the land of Egypt, and that is the only river that runs there. And now this river is the source and supply of all Egypt at this particular time that this word was written. Now this river rises in the commencement of the spring of the year. And this river must reach a certain height shall it be prosperous in the land of Egypt. If it only rises 12 cubits, then there's a famine in the land. 14, there is some food. 15 is generally good, but 16, the normal height that the river rises, supplies prosperity and everything that they need in the land of Egypt. And if it should rise 18 cubits, then there's a famine again, for the simple reason that it takes too long for the waters to run off. And now this river, when it flows like it does over its banks, the whole land of Egypt is just like a sea. And these kine that we are speaking about, they have the habit of immersing themselves under the water. They just keep their nostrils up above water. Because there are so many insects and it's so hot in the land of Egypt that this is where the kine find a place to stay. And now where he seen them coming up out of the river in his dream, it was nothing unusual for these kine to come up out of the river and feed in the meadow. And now this king, he had seen likewise 7 ears of corn growing on a stalk, rank and good, and he had seen 7 lean ears of corn come up, and they consumed the 7 rank ears. And now he's reciting unto Joseph this dream that he had had, 2 dreams. And Joseph, he begins to interpret to this king the dream. How wonderful that God led Joseph into the meaning of these dreams. He spake unto the king and said that the king had received something from God in these dreams, for God was teaching this king something that was going to take place. And where he had seen 7 kine fat fleshed and well favored, and 7 fat rank of ears good, and that meant 7 years. And where he had seen 7 of the opposite kind of kine and 7 of the opposite ears of corn, that meant 7 years. The dream is one, he says unto Pharaoh, and God is showing unto Pharaoh what shall take place. And there will come in Egypt 7 years of great plenty, of an abundance. And after those 7 years, there will come 7 years that will consume all the abundance that is grown in those 7 years, and it will not be seen. All what they had will be taken up by the famine that shall come. Now, this then is the interpretation of the dream. And he begins to speak unto Pharaoh and say unto him that he should take a man wise and discreet and set him over the land of Egypt. And that in those 7 years when God would bless them with so much, they should take up the fifth part of the land and put that in storehouses and gather it together for the 7 years of famine that shall take place, so that there will be food for man and beast. This Joseph spake before the king and before all the magicians and the wise men. And when he spake, my hearers, he spake by the Spirit of God. The Spirit inspired Joseph to speak the interpretation of this dream. And it carried so much weight with it that there wasn't one magician, one wise man, that opposed it. God laid something upon them that they were filled with awe, and they were given to believe that the interpretation that Joseph spake was true. We have here, my hearers, a wonderful example of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he is the great interpreter of his own word and testimony. And if he should interpret his word in your heart and in your soul, my hearers, you will experience such awe, such reverence, such faith accompanying the word that you will have to believe it, whether you want to or not. It pleases God to use likewise his servants at times as interpreters, who also are given to speak by the Spirit of God. And when this Spirit accompanies the word, oh, what a change takes place in the hearts of human beings. Have you ever had the Spirit of God speak to you, my hearers? Have you ever had an interpretation of something that you were longing for, looking for? Coming up to the house of God or reading his precious word, and suddenly light descended into your mind and into your soul, and you were led into the true meaning of what you were reading. And as you read it, you were given faith to believe it. And as you believed it, it brought you into communion, into prayer, into fellowship with God concerning what you read. Oh, how near God felt to you. And how you believe what you were reading was his precious word, and that he meant it for you and for you only. Oh, what a blessing it is, my hearers, to take up the word of God in a prayerful attitude and ask this great interpreter to interpret his own word for you. How necessary for servants of God to lay at the feet of this great interpreter and beseech him that he would unfold the mysteries of his own word for them. How necessary even for a Bible teacher to lay at the feet of Jesus, seeking light, seeking instruction, and seeking those things necessary to be enabled to continue on and teach this word in all its purity. Joseph, he was an interpreter sent by God, so that Pharaoh, the land of Egypt, and all the people round about Egypt would be blessed by it. How good it was of God to reveal this secret which was going to take place unto Pharaoh and unto the people in the land of Egypt. And now, my hearers, after he had been given to speak in this manner, Pharaoh says, who is there amongst all the wise men in Egypt, such as thou art, a man wise and discreet? And Pharaoh said that he would place him over the land of Egypt, that he would make him second ruler in the land, and that his people would be ruled by his word, and that everyone would have to abide by what he was doing, and that they would put him in the second chariot, and that he would ride throughout the land, and that they would bow the knee before him, and that he would be the governor of the land, that Pharaoh would be above him in the throne, but he would be the second ruler thereof. We have in here again a glorious type of Jesus Christ, my hearers, where Joseph was exalted to be ruler over the land of Egypt, so God the Father has exalted his Son to be ruler over the kingdom of God amongst men.